Hello everyone, and welcome back to the final episode of this series of The Stagey Place, with me, your host, Elliot Shepherd. Before we begin with today's episode, I'd just like to thank you, the viewer, for tuning in every week to listen to me ramble on with some of my closest friends about how they got into the industry. I've really enjoyed this series, and I hope you have too. We've had some great numbers week on week, and even though today marks the final episode of this series of The Stagey Place, stay tuned as next week we will have takeovers from the back three guests from this series, Spike, Sarah, and Izzy. And stay tuned, as in a couple of weeks we will be releasing an announcement regarding the future of this podcast. Back to today's episode though, and I think we're really ending this series on a high, with today's guest, Izzy Carney, who I first worked with last year on Chekhov's The Seagull at the Cockpit Theatre. We're going to cut straight into the episode, and I hope you enjoy. Having recently graduated from the University of Reading, today's guest was always keen to work alongside her degree as a stage manager, most notably working for the Quince Players Pantomimes and professional departments at the Royal Opera House in London. Having just completed her time at the Vault Festival under Waterloo Station as a venue stage manager, we are delighted to have Izzy Carney in the studio with us today. Izzy, welcome to The Stagey Place.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Virtually, that is.
Exactly. Every week, I've been asking the guests, first off, how they're doing in isolation. So, how are you doing?
I've been good, actually. It was a bit of a struggle for the first couple of weeks, just because I feel like I'm always doing something. So, kind of like reducing routine was quite hard. But now I'm pretty good, actually. I've just been like chilling out. I don't think I've actually stopped doing anything in years. So this is actually quite a nice time. It's quite zen.
We were saying before the recording, like you said, it's the first time maybe in years that you've been back at home, back at your family home. How's that like connecting with your family?
So it's really nice, actually, because obviously being in theatre, we're like either doing really long days or we're working in the evening. And so I'm on a completely opposite schedule from my mum and my dad. So we haven't really crossed paths since I've moved back home just after I graduated in July last year.
Yeah.
And even then I was off doing Edinburgh and everything. So we haven't actually just really like chilled out together in so long. So that's been really nice. And I've been doing a lot more like fitness, which I've never really done before ever. So the Couch to 5K app has been really good. So I've been doing that. So that's like a running app that you can get. And I've started running, which is really nice. Actually, it really helps like clear your headspace and everything. So I'm really enjoying that. And just like going out on walks and stuff like that. So reading a lot as well. So that's been really nice. It's been really good.
Yeah. As a stage manager, I'm finding, and I'm not sure if you're finding this as well, that, you know, we are so used to a routine every day doing the same sort of show, or like when you're at the Vault Festival, I'm sure routine, you know, every week. Have you been trying to keep some sort of routine during this time? And have you found it a little bit difficult to find projects to do, or are you mostly into the groove now?
Yeah, I definitely found it hard at first because there isn't much you can really do as a stage manager in a lockdown, got to be said. And I was trying to be a bit more like, at first, I was trying to be a bit more spontaneous with like my day and just trying to be like, oh yeah, I'll just wake up and see what happens. But then I've quickly realised that's just fundamentally not how I operate. So I was like, but I've got a bit of more of a structure now where like I'll try and go out on like a run in the morning and then try and do like just little things during the day, like something chill, like reading, watching like TV. And even it just sounds silly, but it just carves out your day a bit more and things like that. I have been as well emailing different theatres to see if they need any help, mainly like theatre charities. My friend who's a producer recommended me to like kind of contact some theatre charities and theatre companies to see if they needed any help during lockdown, because obviously like everyone's at a complete standstill. So I've heard back from a few places, but I'm just waiting now to see if they actually need some help volunteering, or charities who help with like outreach and things like that, who normally wouldn't, don't normally have a lot of income anyway. So that's been quite a nice thing, even though it hasn't happened yet, but that's quite nice to like have a bit of something, even if it hasn't fully materialized as such. But as well as venue managing and stage managing is like my kind of commercial income, which I do really enjoy, I also am really interested in like directing and things like that. So been getting some projects together, which actually, funnily enough, wouldn't have materialized if lockdown hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So that's been actually a bit of a silver lining. So I've been able to kind of take a step back and focus on those kind of things which I wouldn't normally have time or the opportunity to do. So that's been really nice.
So let's go all the way back now then to when you first fell in love with theatre. Where were you? Where are we at?
I mean, it's funny. I feel like I didn't really fall in love with theatre until I was probably about 15, actually. Mm-hmm. I was quite late onto the scene, as it were. Because when I was at school, I didn't really do drama or anything until I got to about GCSE. And I think the reason I liked to do drama when I was doing GCSE was because I was with my friends.
Yeah.
Because I think the main thing. I think I was kind of attracted to that, like we were just saying, like that camaraderie aspect of things. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what got me into it. And then I had a really good time doing drama GCSE. Like it did build my confidence up a lot. And then I went into sit form with my school still, and I then did drama A-level. And my mum is a big theatre lover. She loves it so much. And she was a member of the National for quite a long time.
Okay.
She'd always get me a ticket to go with her. And I think the first play that I saw that I really was so overwhelmed and like loved so much was I saw a play at the Littleton called Ballyturk. This is actually in 2014. I've just suddenly thought in my scale of life. I saw that, and it was a play with Cillian Murphy in, actually, was in it.
Oh, nice.
And I saw it, and I was so invested in this piece of theatre, like everything about it, the set design, the lighting, the tech, the acting, the writing, the direction. I was completely amazed by all of it just in that moment, because I'd seen some plays before, not too many, you know, like with my mum or like with my school. Did a lot of theatre trips in my school, actually. That was a big exposure thing. But I just remember that I was like, okay, I want to do that. I was like, I want to make a piece like that, on firing all cylinders. Like I was like, I want to do that. So that was like the first kind of proper love for me, I think. That's when my love of theatre started properly, was then.
Yeah.
So quite late.
And did you do any extracurricular drama stuff, or was it mainly all just that school?
Well, do you know what? I actually didn't, because, and this is quite funny, but my mum really doesn't like musicals at all. Bless her. She's very cultured. Like she loves theatre and everything. Like I said, she was the one who was taking me to the National, pushing my like boundaries of like what I was seeing. And she didn't really like let me, kind of air quotes, do these kind of extracurricular drama activities, because she associated them with those kind of like musical theatre like kind of stuff. And that's no shame intended. She just didn't like this, like musical theatre and stuff. I'm absolutely dragging my mother, and I apologise. So I didn't really do any extracurricular drama stuff. And that was me as well. Like I was off doing other things. I did quite a lot of music when I was younger and things. But then I did a bit of extracurricular just with my own school. Like we had like an after school drama club and stuff, but nothing really super like intensive until kind of later on and stuff. When I went to university, I was part of the drama society there, which I loved. That was a really great time.
Yeah.
And loads of opportunities, met my like best friends through it, really, like really solidified those friendships through there. So not till later on, I'd say.
Yeah. And as we're on university at the moment then, you didn't take a performing arts course, did you? You went down a different route.
Yeah, so I didn't go to drama school. It's tricky. I did consider it, but I didn't consider it. Bristol Vic was one that I looked at almost.
That was it.
It just wasn't really something that occurred to me to do. in all honesty. I had always been actually interested in stage managing and exploring that when I was, you know, at kind of in sit form. That was something that really appealed to me, just like the kind of being involved in the tech, but also that kind of management was looked really fun. So I did want to do that, but it just wasn't really something I considered, in all honesty. I think it's because in some ways I wanted to keep my options open with what I wanted, what I could possibly do. So ended up going to University of Reading and doing a joint honours degree. I did, which I don't know if you know, actually, I did a joint honours. I did English literature and theatre.
Okay.
A joint degree.
Yeah.
And I had a really good time there. And I think a lot of people I've graduated with, not just in my year, but also who I've known, were a bit of a testament to the fact that you don't necessarily need a drama school to work in like technical roles and things. And I think it definitely was the right choice for me because I just got so a bit of a broader kind of understanding of texts and everything, especially doing things like the Drama Society alongside it meant that I was still involved practically. That was like my kind of practical base. Whereas doing the kind of theatre and English on my degree was a quite very theoretically based, although we did do practicals as well, being in theatre. You can't do theatre without practicals, right? but it was a lot more theoretical and stuff. But while I was at university, I did a lot of work experience, which I kind of sussed out for myself more than my degree pushing me to do it. I was very aware of the fact, because I did kind of maintain my kind of goal of wanting to do stage management throughout my degree. It was only really when I got into my third year that I did directing for the first time, and kind of how that really appealed to me as a kind of, it brought together like the kind of practical side and also the creative side. So I did a lot of work experience. So I did, the first one I did was actually at the National Theatre. When I was in first year, I did a stage management course for 4 weeks with them.
Nice.
And that was really good. And I think a lot of what spurred me to do these kind of things was, one, I was interested, obviously. And two, I was very aware that being in the position I was in of not having gone to a drama school was that I would need backing. Like, I would need to be proving to employers that I learned what I was doing and learned the craft almost. And that stage management course was really good. Yep, did that in first year. Very inspiring. We learned a lot of things like how to map out rehearsal room, for example, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then a bit later on, when I was in second year, I did, over the Easter holidays, I did a work experience course with the Royal Opera House. And I did a week's placement with them. And that was amazing. That was a real turning point for me, I think, because I was in their ballet stage management department. Because in the Royal Opera House, you have the Royal Ballet and you have the, people are going to kill me who I've worked with at the Royal Opera House for not knowing what the name of the opera is, but like they have opera as well.
Right.
And so I was in the ballet department and I had a great, I had a really good time because they fully let me take the reins with things. They let you get really involved. I worked on, I think about, even though I was only there, I think I was there for a bit longer, maybe just over a week. But during that time, I worked on about 7 productions, which is crazy.
Whoa.
We had one feature length kind of ballet, which was like 2.5 hours long. And then we had what they call triple bills, where they do about, I think they're 20 minutes, half an hour pieces, and there'll be 3 of them over the course of the night. So that's why I racked up so many productions. And they let me help out in rehearsal rooms, like setting up rehearsal rooms for the different ballet dancers. I was fully involved in kind of helping run the stage, really, basically doing the role of an ASM on this stage, which is so old and prestigious. It was crazy, but that was really good. And I think a big thing that I did with that as well was I persisted because I got rejected 4 times for that. The reason I got rejected as such from there was it was more like a spacing thing, but I did keep going back and I kept trying and trying again. Eventually they let me in.
Yeah.
And then when I was doing my degree, when I joined the Drama Society, which I keep talking about, I did a lot of the stage management for them. And then I directed a piece with them as well in my final year. I co-directed a piece with my friend Emma. We did Much Ado About Nothing. And it was great. It was such a, like, a way to kind of express, have a bit more creative control and like practicality doing these kind of practical things that I wouldn't really get to do in my degree. So I did a lot.
Yeah.
If you are passionate about it and you want to do it and you have the drive to do it, then it's the worst thing they can say is no, is a great piece of advice that I got quite early on.
Yeah.
And doing little things as well, like there's an event called Theatre Craft, have you heard of that?
Yeah.
That's how I got signed up to so many places, including the Royal Opera House. I didn't know they offered things, and that was really good as well. And I think a lot of places are really good with outreach and stuff, and allowing people who have no experience to come and try out. So I would just go for it. If you're in that kind of school age, just go for it. Like, so worth doing. And it kind of solidifies what you do and don't want to do as well. So.
Yeah. And at what point then, because you then went back to the Royal Opera House to do front of house.
Yeah.
You were working there for a while. At which point then in this timeline does that fit in?
So I graduated, and then I went with the Drama Society again, assistant direct a play that went up to Edinburgh last year by a writer called Anna Ryan, who's going to be very, very successful. It was a really good play. So we took that up. So that took up most of my summer. And then during that time, I knew I was coming back home. So I was like, okay, I need some kind of job. So I decided to apply for like ushering jobs. And I was on the Royal Opera House's mailing list, and I just saw they had an ushering position open. So I was like, let's do that. So I applied for that. And then I got the job just before, I think we went up to Edinburgh, like the week before I actually got the job. And so basically I went up to Edinburgh, did all that, amazing, loved it. And then in September I started an ushering job. So front of house, basically, front of house assistant at the Royal Opera House. And I was there for around, I think I was there for 6 months in total, which is funny because it doesn't feel like that long. Front of house teams are such a microcosm of networks.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee 80% of people who work in front of house, that isn't their main gig. That's like a side hustle. So it's just about being like, oh yeah, I do like stage management, freelance stage manager. And people who have projects are like, oh, I'll like recommend you. Oh, come work on this project. So, and during that time, I was starting out freelancing as a stage manager because I knew that I needed to build up some credits. Professional credits, and I wasn't really in a position, having, you know, not come from a drama school and things, of going straight into a professional paid role. So the first two projects I did were for no or minimal pay, or profit share, as the kids like to call it. And that's how we met.
That is how we met. Yes, it is. So we were doing a production of Chekhov's The Seagull, and I was a part of the project from the very beginning, from the read-through, and then you joined just shortly afterwards. Mm. Tell me about that project then, as one of your first professional gigs.
Yeah, that was my first professional gig.
Yeah.
Crazy madness. And you know what? I loved it. So much fun. We had a great time. We really did. It was one of those projects where we were allowed to, because we were the only technical team, we had to sort a lot of things ourselves. And a lot of the people that we were working with, this was either their first time doing this, frankly, like it was. And so it was a lot of us, we got to really kind of take the reins. And I think we definitely could have sunk in that role.
Yes.
And I think we pulled it out of the bag.
During the Folk Festival, then, we did meet up once. I remember you telling me that when you applied for the job, you felt like it was quite a big role, and that you didn't necessarily feel like you had the right kind of credential. So tell me how you built up your skills through that role.
Oh, it was good. It was such a good time. I had such a good time during Folk Fest, and I did get a lot of self belief because, like you were just saying, it was a role that was more, demanded a lot more than I'd ever taken on. It was that kind of thing of, I hadn't gone to drama school, hadn't taken the traditional routes, and I'd learnt a lot through what I was doing, but was I ready or able to take on that position? Were they going to put that kind of faith in someone? And they did. Like, so my role was advertised as a front of house and stage manager role. Mm-hmm. And basically when I saw that, I was like, great, two things I can do. It was a new role this year. So they hadn't had this role at all before. So me and another girl who was doing the same role I was, we were in charge of these two satellite venues, like I said. very small venues, mainly doing stand-up comedy, for about 30 people was the max capacity. And I kind of got the sense of when I was reading the job role, and it felt good, like I was reading it and I was like, yes, I can do this. This is something I really want to do, something I really want to learn. And I feel like once you kind of get that fire behind you of your kind of self-belief and everything can kick in, because yeah. I was like, I really want this. And I was like, this is where I need to be. This is where, this is the next step for me. And it was a bit of a risk as well, because I just gotten started properly at the Royal Opera House in terms of I was going into about month five. It's a, you know, it's a good place to work, stable income.
Yeah.
And this would be taking that leap as well, because I would have to quit my job at the Royal Opera House, which is, you know, especially I live in London, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, money is always coming into things in some way or another. But I'm glad that I did take the risk and just go for it. And I think a big part of it is actually that you're always more qualified than you think. You're the main person that's going to downplay yourself. Once I started applying for it, and once you start writing down reasons, you know, when you're doing your cover letters, etc., you kind of have that moment where you brainstorm all your, like, you know, attributes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, you know, you're writing down these things for a reason. And I think so much of it is just that ballsy self-belief that you really just have. And it pays off, because you then go into a position, you get interviewed, and they're like, actually, we do want you. And that's such a rewarding feeling, really, when you kind of put it on the line like that. And just being honest, and I remember I had a really good interview with them, actually. And when I, obviously, like, I got the job, but, like, it was a really good talk that we had, because it was with my, who would then be two of my managers. And yeah. I remember saying to them, you know, in the past, I haven't handled things as well, or, like, because they were saying about how big the commitment was, because this was 6 days a week for, like, two and a half months, basically, is what they were wanting.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, in the past, I've been very, like, I did do so much stuff all the time, and I get really attached to projects, but now I've learned to kind of take a step back from it and to enjoy it, like, in the moment, so that those post-show blues don't hit. Yes. As much, because that's what I struggled with at the kind of early when I was making work for the first time. And kind of just being honest with yourself kind of shows to the employer.
Mm.
They can see that passion, they can see that you do want this, and they will just take a risk on you, like, 80% of the time.
Yeah.
They'll see that within you. Once you kind of take that kind of mini leap of faith, and it's really hard, like, I find it really difficult to email people mm-hmm. and be like, hello, here I am. Like, it's cringy. Like, it's terrible. No one likes to build themselves up in that way. You know, when you're like, I am a hardworking, industrious individual. Like, it can be, like, I always find it quite a cringy thing. It's true. Like, you've just got to have that belief in yourself to just take the leap. And once you take the leap, you always feel better as well. But I knew that I had the foundations of the skills, and I knew it was where I wanted to be. And I think that obviously came across. It was challenging. Like, I hadn't really done venue stage managing before, which was basically what the role was venue stage managing. And it felt really good to be in that position and be able to step up and kind of take on that role. So we have, like, venue stage managers that work in the main site, and they're doing a lot more kind of the stage management side than we were, because of the nature of, we were doing all the front of house, we were checking people in, dealing with all that kind of side of things, as well as doing the stage managing. But it's stand-up comedy. 80% of what the stage managing was getting a mic and putting it up. So I was able to do a lot of covering, actually, what happened. I was able to cover a lot of roles on the main site, and that was really good as well. So I did a lot of front of house supervising. And I think a big thing is if you just say to the right people, oh, I'm interested in doing this, or oh, I'd love to learn more about this, 80% of the time people, like, want to help you and will, like, do their best to make those opportunities available for you. So, like, one time I said to the head of stage, I was like, I would really love to do techs, like, I haven't done a single tech while being here. And she was like, come in, we'll, like, you can shadow and we'll do that. So it's just little things like that. And if you want to do it, go, like, just say it. I can't stress it enough, but I was saying that because I'm like, I knew that past me would have been like, no, I don't want to, but
yeah.
It's such a thing, and people will ultimately, I think, kind of respect you for that as well. A lot of the kind of graft that comes with comes across, and if you do your best, then people will be like, oh, she's like reliable or they're reliable, like, and they want to do this. And it just kind of, it remains in people's like memories as well. So it just opens up a load more things.
Throughout the whole of your career then, what would you say has been your highlight?
Oh my God. I think, and this is going to sound really cheesy, but I think my highlight has been actually proving that I can make a career in something I love.
Brilliant. Like, love it.
I keep coming back to this, but like not coming from drama school, not really having such a love and interest in theatre until quite late on, and knowing that I can do roles that I've always wanted to do and they are actually accessible to me through my work and like my graft has been a real highlight. Especially like doing stage management has been really good. That's been a big highlight. I think Vault Festival has to be the highlight for now, just because that's the biggest thing I've done.
Yeah.
I love doing fringe work. I think fringe work is really interesting, and I think the kind of work you get exposed to is really interesting. That's kind of opened up a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
Fringe theatre, because I, you know, when I did my quote-unquote training, air quotes, like at Royal Opera House, at the National Theatre, these are massive institutions, and seeing a world beyond that and all this kind of new and exciting writing and people putting stuff on that was is so out there a lot of the time, and sometimes it works, sometimes it does not.
Yeah,
that's been the highlight. I think in terms of an actual thing I've done, Vault Festival, but a highlight for me has actually been making it work and letting things kind of speak for itself.
So obviously before Corona hit and the lockdown was in place, what were you looking to do after the Vault Festival? Were you chatting to people throughout the festival looking for work, or were you having something already on the go afterwards?
Well, since being kind of exposed to this kind of venue managing and venue stage managing at a festival, I really, and I still want to, obviously we're not sure where we're going to be, but kind of doing the festival circuit, the fringe festival circuit really. So yeah. That stuff like Underbelly Festival with South Bank, I had applied for, but obviously like everything that was happening with like Corona and things. But aside from that, like doing that, and then I also like apply for Pleasance, venue managing for them and things like that. But I really wanted to do that. And I think for me, it's just that kind of environment that I really love. Like it's so busy. Everything's happening at once. It's very social as well. Mm-hmm. Helping a lot of companies see their work through is always really nice.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine who I knew from university was producing a play which was actually at Vault Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And the director of that had also been at uni just before I was there. So she graduated and I joined, kind of thing. And so like there's this whole kind of community of people that I kind of knew either through my friend or just like they've been at my university, they've been in the drama society I was in. And on that particular day when they were doing their play, it was Amara and Gad. It was by a company called Be My Beanie.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And I was able to like help them put it on because I was managing the venue that they were in. Just on that particular day, I happened to be on the main site covering. And that's just a really nice like full circle moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is venue managing. I love helping companies put on their work and being involved that way, and almost kind of, you're doing so much for them, but you're almost a bit of a fly on the wall. I always think it's really interesting to see how stuff works out.
Yeah.
And especially now with everything that is happening at the moment, I think it's more important than ever to be adaptable and to be vigilant with like what you want to do, kind of anything really, once this is reopen. I think I still have hope that I can return to the Fringe Festival circuit and bounce around that. That's a kind of goal of mine. And also now I've got these, like a creative project where I can return a bit more to the creative side of things, which I have really missed. I love stage managing and I think it's really fun, and venue managing, but it requires a very specific part of your brain almost. And since I was doing loads of stuff at uni and like using the kind of creative side of my brain, I haven't used it as much, and I've definitely missed that a lot. So I'm excited to kind of use this forced stop to kind of take a step back and do maybe other things, more like creative things again, which will be really nice. So yeah, kind of like venue managing. And do you know what? I'm probably going to go back to front of house as well. I did a lot of front of house and vault as well, which I'm fine with.
Brilliant. Brilliant. What advice then would you give to listeners who want to get involved in the industry but not necessarily knowing which pathway they'd like to take?
Oh my lord, this is so like a question at my younger self, I feel.
Yeah.
I think stay curious in terms of like seeking out those opportunities. Those opportunities are out there, and just taking all the opportunities you can get, really. Because yeah. I did stuff like I did producing workshops, I did loads of things that I haven't really used or end up doing. But it's always just good to, yeah, like I say, just stay curious about what you want to do and things like that, and just not let yourself kind of get in the way of yourself. Like, you are in the room for a reason. You're allowed in the room for a reason. Just like go out there and just see what happens, because if you have like the commitment and drive to do it, then you can make it happen like big time, especially in this industry. I think learning yeah. on the job is really valid way of doing things, if that's either how it works out by accident or you like purposely choose to do that. I feel like I did a bit of both, and just seeing what works for you really, and just trying out different things. Talk to people as well about what you want to do, because they'll remember that 80% of the time. They'll remember that.
Yeah. Right. So my final question then, Izzy.
Yeah.
Where is your stagey place?
Oh my God, we were talking about this earlier, and I feel yeah. like I'm indecisive, so I'm going to pick both, but they're for different reasons. So obviously, I think we would be, and I hope we do go to at some point when this is over, the foyer of the National Theatre.
Oh, we will absolutely be going there. Yeah, I love
partly
the cafe.
Because that's where we'd be like allowed to go. To
yeah.
like, that's where my kind of love of theatre began. I've seen so much stuff there over the years, and that is where I can really trace back my like love. Like I was saying, when I saw that production in the Littleton, that was like the first time I was like, "Yep, I want to do that." And being freelance, I have the fun thing of being able to pick so many places, because I haven't really had a specific place I've been based.
Yeah.
Ever. So I think it would be the Foyer of the National, and I think it would be, I think Vault Festival would be quite a fun one as well, just anywhere within Vault Festival.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just the whole place is a venue, the whole place is a stage place.
Yeah, it's the different spaces, isn't it? Every space has a unique factor to it, and I can absolutely say that some of the shows that I saw at the Vault Festival this year, I saw 18 shows altogether. All the shows in different spaces, they all have their each uniqueness that actually really benefited to the performance that I watched. Yeah, it's brilliant. But my favourite place in the Vault Festival had to be the Rose Bar, it says.
Oh, we love the Rose Bar, yeah.
Just the decor in that Rose Bar was phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, good times. It's a great place to see it again. I'm sure it will be back.
Yes, yeah, let's fingers crossed, absolutely. Because
I would say anywhere in Vault Festival, just because I have especially that love for it at the minute. But I think the Foyer of the National would be really good.
Yeah, I think the thing that's so poignant about it right now is that obviously, did you read about the Trafalgar Studios and the fact that they're doing their redevelopment to make it back into that 650-seater, whereas the downstairs space obviously was very well known for doing fringe transfers. Yeah. So, you know, it's very poignant now that you have the Vault Festival, which is the big fringe festival in London, bringing so many amazing shows that you never know who's watching that show that can take it further.
Yeah, and a lot of people are either using it as a springboard to Edinburgh, or they're trying out new work for the first time. And I think I was never, apart from I had been to Edinburgh Fringe Festival, just the sheer, like, that gave me a real appreciation for like fringe work and like what that looks like and what that means. And I think it is really important, and I think it's where so many people go to get inspired. And there are so many of us that have made a career, well, making careers using fringe theatre. So let's hope that it keeps going. And I think hopefully, like you say, with Trafalgar Studios, that was a bit of a shock, actually, I think, when I read that. But just keeping the kind of fringe heart in London would be really nice.
It really would be. Thank you so much, Izzy, for coming on the Stage and Place today. You know, it's been so nice to have you on. I think we've ended it on a really high note, I'm not going to lie.
Because I was like, I've done so much stuff, almost. Like, I'm so early, I'm so new. I was like, what do I actually have to say?
Well, the thing is that I think that's why I think this episode in particular is going to be so great for so many listeners. To have somebody like you on here to say, you know, have every opportunity that you get, apply for stuff, you know, whatever it is, if you feel like you've got some sort of skill set for it, go for it. I think that's going to really, you know, resonate with so many listeners today.
I hope so. I think, you know, this is such a diverse industry in so many ways. And I think if you want to be involved in it, you can absolutely forge your own path into it.
Right. Thank you so much, Izzy.
Thank you.
And there we go. That was the final episode of this series of The Stagey Place with today's guest, Izzy Carney. If you enjoyed today's episode, why not leave us a review on Podbean, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Until next week, when we'll have a takeover with the back three guests of this series with Spike, Sarah and Izzy. I hope you have a lovely week and I look forward to hearing from you soon.